Welcome back to Bitcoin Study Sessions. My name is Lucas Matty. That guy with the good smile is Grant Riker. Yeah. This is your favorite fourth tier podcast about Bitcoin with third tier jokes and eighth tier haircuts. And we are joined by
a first tier guest
who I like to describe as the Bitcoin menace of Bulgaria, a force of nature. Mr. Ivan Makadonsky. He is the chief of staff at Breeze, which is a Bitcoin Lightning company. Breeze has developed a software development kit, an SDK, that allows nodeless Lightning transactions. Not only that, Ivan is a really deep thinker in terms of Bitcoin, and he's really inspired me to consider the societal effects of how split payments can change the way that society interacts with each other. The example I always get is that we've got a restaurant, and typically the restaurant's started by somebody who likes to cook. And in the course of wanting to run a restaurant, they have to stray away from doing the thing that they're good at, cooking. And they have to delve into all these other forays that they might not be very good at, like hiring or accounting or being a landlord or being a real estate owner, advertising, marketing, etc. What Lightning allows us to do is that when I walk into the restaurant, I pay my bill and it allows 5% to go to the waitress, 10% to go to the chef, 15% to go to the building owner, 3% to go to the accountant, et cetera, instantly with final settlement. And that changes our incentives. We talk a lot about incentive structure and how Bitcoin encourages us to be collaborative instead of competitive. So this changes the way that we interact with each other. I think that it's one of the more interesting thought holes to go down to in Bitcoin. And we're going to poke around with a few holes here with Ivan today. So, Ivan, if you would, give us a little bit of your own introduction. I've left out a few important things. Husband and father, of course. Proud Bulgarian.
And also, he's a member of the subterranean thought current within Bitcoin. That is, people who understand soft war for the vital thesis that it is. And he really, not only does he understand the vitality of that thesis, but he applies it in his work. So definitely great to have him here.
Yeah. Kick us off, Ivan. What do you got for us?
Thanks for the kind words. I would say out of all of those, I don't think if I'm a deep thinker, I just stumbled onto something and I started thinking about it, to chase it. I never wrote an article in my previous careers. I never spent so much time thinking about an idea like what is money, why the hell Bitcoin, or all sorts of things. And now I'm in this journey for 4 years and this thing just happened. But why I do this is I'm a highly competitive person and I come from a deep pain, as you know, from our previous conversations. And for me, what I say is that whatever I do in Bitcoin, probably I'm not going to affect the world economy in any sort of way. But if I do things right and I understand and build the proper solutions, I'm going to have a huge effect for my kids. And that is what is driving me for all of this, because this is my hashing proof of work thing. That whatever the market values and stuff like that, whatever works, if I implement this solution, if I connect with those people, if I, whatever environment set up for my kids, now they're going to start from that and build upon this, just like we are stepping on the work of Satoshi Nakamoto. Like, we didn't have to be a cypherpunk and figure that whole process for 40 years, but now we kind of understand the basic pieces and we can build on top of that. And that is what I'm trying to do. Like, I want to set an environment of abundance, an environment of quality people for my kids, the social network, which in general Bitcoiners are better, from my understanding and my experience. But I don't want my kids to fight invisible demons like inflation and believe the propaganda that that is good for us. Just like saying, oh, you have a computer, so I'm not going to steal it, but I'm going to break it, and that is good for you. Like, that is what they're doing to our money. Because of that pain, because of now I have in my face the meaning of what I'm fighting for, because in my previous careers and fiat, I didn't understand any of this, and I was not a father, so it wasn't a daily reminder of what I was doing, but I was kind of chasing success in the fiat propaganda view. But now it's completely different. So that is, I would say, introduction for myself, that I'm trying to build a better world for my kids.
Yeah, and part of that better world is that you are continuously going deeper and deeper into the doors that Bitcoin unlocks. So Bitcoin itself offers the sovereignty and the financial freedom, but then Lightning allows for these split payments and allows for this value for value. And in the most recent article that you had sent us, you go a step further and you actually make a critique of the traditional fiat platforms of advertising, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And you talk about, you know, Bitcoin podcasters, we're on these platforms and we are preaching Bitcoin, but giving a fiat experience. And that fiat experience is one that is heavily laden with ads and sponsorships and interrupted, and it lessens the experience for the listener. And so you've really become a proponent of Nostr, notes and other stuff transmitted by relays, a decentralized protocol that allows for the transmission. It's effectively a decentralized social media platform. And partly by your encouragement, we've started putting our podcast onto Nostr. We've had slow, you know, small user base, not a whole lot of listens. However, I told Grant the other day, we've now had two people that directly reached out and gave us money, gave us Bitcoin in the form of sats by sending us payments through Lightning, straight through Nostr, straight into our account, automatic final settlement. And I think that's kind of what it means to be, you might not consider yourself a deep thinker, but to be someone who is constantly on the edge. When Bitcoin was on the edge, you were there, then Lightning, and now we're on Nostr. So can you kind of flesh out that idea for us a little bit? I know that you interact quite a bit on Nostr and kind of just lay out, I guess, the case for what you see Nostr as today and what you see the potential of that. Because there's a lot of people that would say the network effect of something like YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts is so large that it will be impossible to overcome that and get people to transfer to a new platform like Nostr. I don't believe that, but I think that that's something that should be addressed. So would you kind of tell us about your experience with Nostr and where you think that that'll take us?
I would say about Nostr a little bit of a correction. I think Nostr is playing around with Bitcoin the proper way. I don't know if Nostr is the solution, because Nostr is not a social media thing. Nostr is a protocol that you can have a digital identity. And what you do with that digital identity could be almost anything. And Nostr has the potential to become the new internet in some circles, what they say. I'm not technically as competent to say if that is actually possible, because other people say it's not scalable. But what Nostr really is doing is Bitcoin is native in Nostr. It's not something outside. It's not something, oh, click this button and you're going to be redirected to another page. It's in the whole experience. And whoever gives the best experience wins in those circles. But for now, it's just a playground. It's like nothing. But that is the thing what people and developers should focus on. Like, how can I integrate Bitcoin in my day-to-day experiences so it's not something that's outside, it's not an asset that I'm waiting to get rich, but it's just money in the basic understanding of everything. So why are you using money for just one use case to save in it? Like, very, very important use case, because we never had this saving technology ever in history of humankind. But that is just one use case. Payments is also the other best use case, like to be anywhere around the world for seconds. Okay, like, why nobody is playing around? Like, Nostr is great at that. But unfortunately, this is something that's completely new, and it's very hard to adopt this network. And the biggest thing that is stopping people to flow in there is the user experience. Again, it's kind of bad still. And I'm in Nostr for, like, I think 3 years now, definitely more than two. And it's improved hugely, but still, sucks for a lot of things. The thing that really shocked me 2 weeks ago or something is that I started playing around with vibe coding, and it turns out that now all my ideas in the instant settlement articles, I can showcase them. Like, I can do split payments with our own SDK, which is free. Anybody can use it. I gave the documentation of Breeze to the AI. I told him, okay, make this website. Then I pointed, okay, based on this documentation, make a particular payment in such a way with the, again, I'm not thinking in developer terms. I'm thinking in user terms, how I want the experience to be. And you can implement all that in your own website. It will not be Nostr, but it will have the same thing. So yes, you can put all your content in Nostr and the experiences because there is a network, but nothing stops you to create your own website where you host it yourself and you have all that same experience in it. Like, you create invoices, you receive it, somebody votes for something, your users can have their own wallet. Everything can be one whole thing. And not only that, but when you take your seed and you put it somewhere else, your money is already there. You don't need something else. The thing that you need to protect is just the seed. So again, going back to your question, Nostr is a great experimentation, and the network is kind of growing there, but it's still, even though it's growing, it's still not hitting a hockey stick. It's growing linearly, and until somebody creates some type of experience where they're very excited about, actually, somebody created a replica of Vines. Yeah, he called it Divines, and that actually broke his servers, and I think Rabo is his nickname. And that was great, and everybody was excited about it. Yeah, we're going to have 6 seconds video on Nostr, but when you get in, you're excited, and the user experience is crappy, is what we talked last time. Like, the experience needs to be good so people stay. They don't dick around and then leave. Like, that's not the idea. We need to be better. Just because theoretically Bitcoin has all those properties, it doesn't mean that the developers that work on them give you those properties. Like, people don't care about digital scarcity. People don't care about, oh, I can send it all around the world. They need to have the problem solved, and that thing just needs to work. Like, I don't want to know what I need to do to electrify my house. I want to click a button and that light bulb to be to shine. So I see stuff in the dark. That is the idea. We are still not there yet. But because I believe with AI and right now the layers of Bitcoin are getting much, much better than what it was 3 years ago, like light years. And we're getting closer, but we did not hit a point of adoption of hockey stick. That is the problem, and it is in the user experience. Because if somebody, the only hockey stick that we hit from time to time is when something in fiat breaks and Bitcoin or Nostr fills that gap, because there was some problem in Asia that they blocked private messages and something like that. So something that Jack Dorsey created that uses Nostr, the adoption grew a lot. But those are pockets and tremors in the fiat system, and not everybody will jump on the right boat. So that is the thing that we need to figure out. I don't want the world to crash and burn until we use Bitcoin. But unfortunately, and I'm putting this also in for myself, will come from pay. I believe that 99% of people will jump in Bitcoin because they have no choice. Just 1% yeah. will be like, oh, this is something that I can use.
I agree. We've said this on this podcast before, but Tony Robbins has a saying that people do not change until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of changing. And I recently applied for a role with the Bitcoin conference. And the mission of the Bitcoin conference is hyper-Bitcoinization. And so in preparation for my initial interview, I was having a conversation with Grok about what are the major drivers for hyper-Bitcoinization, for the rapid adoption of any technology. And interestingly enough, the answer that I got was that nothing will accelerate hyper-Bitcoinization like the failure of the fiat economy. You can have all the free education that you want, all the conferences, all the platforms and podcasters, etc., and that will not move the needle near as much as having the failure of the current system, which makes perfect sense. But you said something, and I want to kind of, I'm not sure if I'm challenging you on it or if I'm just asking for more clarity, but first off, I want to frame Nostr in historical terms. We're saying that it's been 3 years and it's still not very user friendly. And by the way, I agree with that. I use it and it's not very fast. Primal is what I use for my interface, and it's not great. It's okay. It does have some features that I prefer actually to other platforms, but still, it's not quite as good. However, if we frame it in terms of thinking about, well, the internet was invented in the 60s and it wasn't actually usable on a commercial level until the 90s, and it wasn't actually popular until the 2000s with the introduction of search engines, then if we look at it in that kind of historical context, then I would say that Nostr is actually being adopted fairly quickly. It's moving fairly rapidly. But the thing that I think is important is that we have the protocol, and like you say, we're waiting for the user experience to be developed in order to really engage people. Chamath Palihapitiya, I saw him recently on stage, and he was talking about how the refrigerator was introduced, but the people that sold the refrigerators and made the refrigerators, they didn't really make a whole lot of money. They weren't really the ones that changed the world. The people that really benefited from that were the people that made Coca-Cola and the people that made beer, right? Because that was the product that went into the protocol. And so Primal, Damus, these products basically that are built on top of the protocol of Noster, they're the ones that, yeah, we're really waiting for that great use case, the place to listen to music or watch movies or watch the Vine episodes, or is it my social media? Is it the way that I transfer value, et cetera? But you had said that you're not sure that Noster can scale. Is it just because of the user experience lagging that you don't believe that Noster can scale, or is it some other technical reason?
This is beyond my comprehension, unfortunately, but the technical community is kind of split on Noster. So half of it say that because everything is relayed through relays and through multiple relays, that means that the data is duplicated in multiple relays, that creates problems. But I cannot answer more than this. That is the technical challenge, because some say that above 500 or even less, 500 million people, it would just completely break, because it will be flooded with information that has to travel. On the other side, people that are building on Noster, I talked with them, and they say that if you're a highly technical person, you have to unlearn a lot of stuff in order to understand that Noster can scale. And I am, again, don't know what is the truth. That is their argument, just like an economist, a fiat economist trying to understand Bitcoin. That is their argument. But again, is it a bias because they're building on Noster, or the other people are right? I don't know. But either way, the thing, as I said, the thing that I love, even if Noster is not the thing, by Noster scaling to the point of that failure, then that would be great, because so many people will use it, and that means all of our collective brains of those, let's say 1% of those people will be developing on it. They have a vested interest in making it work, even if it fails. So a solution might show up, or even if it completely fails, another type of protocol should change or something else. So it will take the good stuff from Noster and place it somewhere else, just like Bitcoin evolved to what it is now. Before that, it was Bitgold, and it was, before that, it was Charmin Cash, or like so many iterations that everybody has its pluses and minuses. But at some point, the practical use case, how it should be, is Bitcoin. I think the social identity and stuff like that is in that iteration. That's why I don't know if it will work or it will fail. But in the process, we will not lose. Like, even if that is not the proper protocol.
Right.
But because, again, it's digital identity plus digital money, something that we don't have anywhere else. So that's the way that we should experiment and develop.
Yeah, there's some very strong votes of confidence for Noster, right? You've got Jeff Booth, who left Twitter to go to Noster. He's very visionary in that realm. Lynn Alden, Jack Dorsey. And so it is encouraging to know that there are a lot of smart people that are putting their time into that space, I guess. When we talked with Jason Lowry, and unfortunately we weren't able to record it, but when we talked with Jason Lowry, he's the one that first kind of gave us this idea of the internet being rebuilt on Bitcoin, and kind of describing what that might be like, which would be that, you know, basically you can create a wall around your digital identity, and you can reach through the wall to get anything that you want. I want this video. I want this song. But if someone wants to reach through your wall to show you an ad, to put you a product in front of you, then they have to pay a certain amount of sats. They have to pay you a certain amount of Bitcoin in order to reach you. And this is that idea of building a wall of Bitcoin that can only be penetrated by Bitcoin, that Bitcoin is both the castle wall and the cannonball. It's a fascinating concept. And when I look at Nostr with your ability to choose your own algorithm, with your ability to control basically what you see, it's not easy to do if you aren't technical, but it can be done, and presumably it will become easier. I envision that I'll have a slider and I'll just be able to push that slider over and say that if you give me 50 sats, you can show me an ad, something like that. But that falls in line with the software thesis. I think Nostr has that ability. And I know that we're all kind of just trying to learn in real time on this. Who in your mind is the most technical person, the best technical expert on Nostr? Because I want to reach out to him and continue this conversation with him as well.
Well, last year, it was Pablo, but I don't know his last name. I think he is the person that made the most apps on Nostr. He is the one that created Highlighter. He did some client that looks like Instagram. He did other stuff like, And you can find him only on Nostr, but he's one of the most popular guys, so it will be hard to reach out to him. I just bumped into him in one of the conferences and we chatted. If you can reach out to him, he is definitely the one to talk to about this. And the other is Derek Ross. Like they joke about that he's the CEO of Nostr because he's
Derek?
So active.
Derek,
I think Cross? Derek Ross.
Derek Ross. Ross. Derek Not Ross. Cross.
Yes.
Ross.
So those two guys, if you want to talk Nostr deep dive behind the scenes, what's happening. But wanted to go back into your analogy about Bitcoin will be the cyber shield and the cannonball where the whole internet will be built. And your example, yes, those are true. And I wanted to bring out that in our last conversation, that idea that I had for you about people voting for what books to read is we missed a very big software case there. That you said what you don't like about that idea is audience capture. And that can't happen because that's not somebody commenting about it. Your comment, you could never be audience captured when somebody votes with their sats, because the audience capture is actually the use case, what you talked about, Joe Rogan or whoever is very famous in the cyberspace, because there is no shield, they can't protect themselves, they can get audience captured because it costs almost nothing to comment. But if it costs something, that's a completely different thing. That means that what Jason also said here and there is that if somebody attacks you, you want them to attack you because it costs them. And not only it costs them, but that value transferred for you if you create the architecture properly. So let's imagine this for the idea that I had for you, that somebody says, oh, read that book, and they vote two sats, whatever. But somebody outvotes them. I go and I'm not just stingy and give you two sats, but I'll give you 20,000 sats to read a particular book. Now he needs to outcompete me for the best price. But not only that, you might read that book and he's just a spammer trying to attack you and you delete his comment. Now, in order for him to audience capture you, has to put up more sats, and it's in your control. And that's the use case that we completely missed in our last conversation. And again, this is not in Nostr, but something that you can completely create through the structure and the design because you know the theory of software, but now in practice, you can apply it. And now you don't need to tell anybody, oh, this is a cyber shield, oh, this is a weapon, oh, Bitcoin is violence, or whatever those terms that they hate and they trash JSON about. But they'll say, oh, this is not a weapon, this is a paywall. Like, whatever. Like, it's like saying, like, the practical use case is less important than theory. Like, does it matter what is the label? Like,
right.
Use it properly, and some websites will be protected through this cyber shield, because I was thinking also that the solution that makes Bitcoin work, the proof of work mechanism, where people do calculations with their computers so you don't receive spam, now you don't need to even do that, because one sat is a representation of that proof of work. So the work was already done in order to accumulate a sat, two sats, or whatever amount. So you don't need to even do those calculations preventing spam. You just need to do this. Oh, you want to email me? Give me one sat or anything else. You don't need to do the solutions that developers do right now is, if somebody tries to spam me, we're going to block them if they send, let's say, 50 emails in a span of like an hour. Like, yeah, but you still receive 50 unwanted emails and you receive nothing for it. But if that is two sats, like, okay, you received 100 satoshis kind of for free and you can still ignore him. But if somebody actively attacks you, you can increase even the price and all sorts of implications what he's saying. And does it matter if they call it a weapon or just, okay, this is just how things work now. But if people don't understand the theory and don't understand not only software, but Bitcoin itself, and they don't understand computers and all sorts of things, and they don't even care about the user experience, how are we going to get there? It's so hard. And that is what I'm really struggling with everything. The lucky thing, what you said, that I'm on the edge, I'm very lucky because I'm in a company with very big visionaries that they foresaw this for Lightning and how things work very far into the future, but their technologies for 30 plus years practice. And I'll just stop here, but that's what I wanted to mention, that we missed the software use case of my idea and you talking about audience capture.
Yeah, Grant, you've been stoically stroking your mustache and calmly taking a drink. And
yeah,
by the way, I do have to compliment you, because I can tell that your hair looks fantastic today.
No,
what do you want to share here? What are you thinking about
as far as hair care secrets? Or
no, keep those to yourself.
No, so Ivan, when I was listening to you, a couple of things occurred to me. So one is, it seems like it's still audience capture to the highest bidder, which maybe is an okay thing if you, what your goal with a podcast or an artistic creation is, you want patronage and you want a fuel to drive you forward. In that case, it makes sense, and you still have erected a defensive wall guarding your time, but not maybe guarding the artistic direction, the agency that is more important than the value that you receive. I don't know that it's a critique, because that just goes maybe to the motivation of the person who is putting out the thing, that they want to guide, they want to give value in a sense, but irrespective of the value they receive up front, they think that their value, the value given, may be asymmetric to people's desire to receive a certain sort of value. The crass way to put that is people may not know what they want or what they need. And so, for example, like we read Human Forever, and I think that's a book that not a lot of people is not on a lot of people's radar, but I was eager to read it exactly for that reason. Not because I would receive value up front, but because I thought the value that we would put out by bringing to the people's attention something that they might not know was going to be asymmetric to anything we could receive up front and was going to be good for that reason. That's not maybe not a critique, because again, that just goes to the motivation of the person creating the thing. So one thing that I want to hear your thoughts on though is in this piece that we read, which is the latest version of your thinking on split payments, kind of a summary of your previous articles in the form of one article that presents kind of a comprehensive vision of your thought, this article from September in Bitcoin Magazine. You again talk about split payments. It seems that you really do think that split payments are the mechanism by which Bitcoin becomes, we arrive at hyper-Bitcoinization. We maybe don't have to, as Lucas Dyerly notes, wait for the collapse of the fiat economy. We can lean on the utility of what the Lightning Network offers, which is something heretofore unimaginable, which is split payments. And I want to see if you can, if split payments does in some way integrate with your idea on preventing audience capture, if there's any sort of way to integrate those two thoughts. But also, just as a really great line from this article that I want to not leave behind, and it's that split payments will mean that finance will spread out in a decentralized way with organizations that aren't single entities but distributed networks. It seems like your vision of split payments gets rid of the idea of the corporation, a centralized business entity, and allows, in lieu of that, decentralized networks of people that act as if they were a corporation because they're suddenly bound together by the ability to receive payment as if they were part of one. So that's a few thoughts thrown out there, but I want to get your thoughts on those.
Yes. So the first thing about what you said, that you want to put value out there, just because I'm talking about people sending sats in order to comment or something. First of all, you create the design. I'm talking about the protective case against audience capture. First of all, that doesn't mean that you are completely autonomous or you're completely captured. Like, there is in between. So obviously you can choose whatever you want to read because you feel lit. Or you can listen to your audience and what they want, and they really voted for it. But I was just saying, the use case of soft war, like one thing is attacking you through cyberspace, and you put a physical cost limitation in order to do that. I'm talking about against that. That was my comment. That doesn't mean that, yeah, if you want, you cannot. You can even continue to read how you read, and you don't even create this experience because you want to read whatever you want. You don't even want to listen to the audience. But let's take it a step further about the split payment. Yes, I realized that even after writing the CISA articles, the first time when I was writing about it, but when I had the conversation with you and even going deeper about those thoughts, is okay, like what happens really if we receive split payments? Okay, it could be between companies, but the more and more thinking and in all those examples that I gave in the articles is at the end, a human should receive the value. It's not some type of entity abstract thing. Like, so if at the end is the human, like that means that the institutions, companies, and everything is just in between. And not only that, I realized that that is how the fiat system captures the part of society that needs Bitcoin the most, because if you're an employee in a company, now you cannot run away. Let's not be that. You can't run away completely with what taxes you pay or not pay, because you don't even see that money. The company pays it, and yeah, they will definitely pay it because they want to proceed in the environment. But I was thinking, let's say 50 years ago or something, how many mom and pop shops there were? Did they pay all their taxes? Is that maybe the reason why they didn't feel the inflation so much, or all the problems that are in society now? And through 100 years now of centralizing forces, like how many mom and pop shops close down because they can't afford the raising prices? And because of that, now they get into the centralized point where they extract the most taxes for the employers. So again, I didn't expect this, but it's just, a second and third order effect of all those centralizing forces. And split payments is exactly the reverse. That, yeah, you start, let's say you are two hosts right now. You can split it by two. But what happens when not only people vote with their sats, but you invite a guest to have a podcast suite and you say, okay, we're going to split with the guest whatever people voluntarily give you sats for? So not only that, but you will have guests that want to be on your show because they will receive some type of value, or they will vote to read their book so they can even be on your show. Like I'm saying, those are experiences and forces that will motivate human action that are completely different than the fiat platforms that we have now. That I appear on a podcast, that podcast receives 11,000 views, and it turns out that in the first 20% of the whole video, the audio shuts down. And after 11,000 views, somebody says, oh, there's a problem in the video. So what does that mean? Did 11,000 people watch it, or those were just bots? I can't even prove that. But with that human experience, and it costs you something, and it gives, like, that connects you in so many different ways. And I just, again, stumbled onto it, thinking about it. And this is it. Yes, split payments, you start from something, but that is the very, very further down the line. I don't know if software will be first, or the split payment idea disintegrating even corporations. But I think if we get on that path, we'll get there eventually, because we don't need some entities, corporations. I need the money now, and I want to use my resources however I see fit. And because it doesn't have any cost to carry it, to hold it, or anything else, why would I even create a bank account? In Bulgaria, I don't know in the US, but if I have a personal account, I don't have a fee by the bank. That's not tax. But if I have a corporate account, every month they charge me. Like, not only that, but now I have to have an account, and then I have to have this, and I have to pay this and that and this. And what business can you own? And with split payments, I don't need to have any of that. I don't need to be in any jurisdiction. I just need to create the best service, product, or whatever. And I need to find a marketer that, I'll tell him, I'll give you 20% of whatever we sell. And I need to find some accountant. I don't even need an accountant in that. Like, the payment is the accounting itself. It's doing. I just need to figure out who I want to be in my core team to create this. And I don't even know how far we'll go. But those were the thoughts.
So you don't need a legal fiction to preside over the creation of value. You just need an intricate set of payment channels that is going to reward everybody as if they were all aligned with the same mission. And they presumably will be if they're receiving value, if that mission succeeds. I was reading a book. I've been reading this book on the development of the legal liability concept of limiting legal liability. And there's a famous quote that a law professor was asked, like, what is the biggest innovation of the 20th century? You know, is like electricity or the steam engine or something like that. And he says, it is the legal liability corporation, the ability to limit legal liability. And the thing about Bitcoin is its law is code. It is something where you move outside the law in a sense because you don't need to regulate the conduct of individuals with law backed by violence. You can instead regulate conduct through, again, maybe an intricate set of payment channels, splitting payments seamlessly amongst a set of individuals with no need to arbitrate disputes other than the operation of those channels themselves. I mean, is that kind of how you see what split payments could be? Some way to easily add people to a structure of payment channels in order to obviate the need for that legal fiction? Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah. Absolutely, that's it. And what the DeFi bros promise, like,
yeah.
that is the split payments. Like,
yeah.
You don't need some technical term that, oh, it's so fancy or whatever, and come buy into my scam. You just split the payment. You say, let's say I split it three ways, one third each or whatever, and somebody doesn't do their work, okay, you're out of our split payments, or somebody, we need to add somebody, what is the proper value that we give them? And I'm saying it's reshaping everything, because what Jason also says is that every law is created after the blood was spilled. So houses, gold, whatever came after the proof of work mechanism where you can't unsubscribe for. So the winner now can set the proper rules.
Yeah.
But when in the cyberspace, we have a proof of work mechanism and that code doesn't require any blood, you fight for the value provided, what Jeff Booth says. Like, you either provide the most value and people use it or you don't. And you're outcompeted. The abstraction of things will be disintegrated in so many ways. This is just one way of me thinking. And that doesn't mean that they'll completely disappear forever. I believe, just like with credit, some forms will always exist. Just like today, sending a letter with post stamps. You can still do that, but it will be like that. It will be like 0.1% of all the letters sent or something. But and it will give autonomy and power to the individual, and it will create more and more that. And because it gives more power to the individual, that individual, even if that split payment doesn't work for him, because he can attain more of his purchasing power, he can say, okay, I will create my own product, network, or anything else. But now the reverse, going back to the mom and pop shops, why they have to be forced into employment, into some corporation? Because that corporation, again, is the only one that can survive the big taxes and all sorts of inflation. Not only that, but they are probably much higher in the chain of the closer to the money printer. So they can scheme some type of way. And the mom and shop, pub shops are forced those people to go into those corporations. That's, again, centralizing force. When you give power to the individual, that centralizing force becomes decentralizing force.
Yeah. So this, and this maybe goes to,
I have no idea how many things will change.
Yeah.
A few ideas, just like, it's just a world that we can't even imagine.
So the failure mode you kind of imagine for Noster, or not even the failure mode, but where it's currently lacking is UI. So this is maybe something that's directly to the heart of what you think about daily, but what does the one-click UI for split payments look like so that the mom and pop can construct this surrogate for the corporation And it's also transparent to the people so that they don't need to know code, and yet they can be assured that agreements they're entering into are fair, that they can audit it for themselves without having to have technical expertise, for example. Is there going to be that sort of UI?
First of all, UI is user interface. So yeah, like UI is kind of good in Oster. I'm talking about UX. Whole experience, because a UX that fails in Oster is somebody sends me a message and I don't see it. Mm-hmm. Like the message is somewhere out there, but I don't see it. So the UI is shiny and stuff like that, but that's what I'm talking about. The big UX challenge for the Lightning Network was and still is opening and closing channels. Like that concept for our fiat experience, we're not used to it. And it's so hard to explain even to the Bitcoiners out there. Like, why the hell am I paying a fee now? Why the hell did you close my channel? And all sorts of things. And that's a UX challenge, even though it has benefits, but people are used to, this is a number on a screen and I can spend it or receive more. I don't need to think about all those behind the scenes stuff. So that's the thing that it's bad user experience for the Lightning Network. What Breeze realized is that we can abstract it away, that we don't even become a Lightning service provider, but we offer a few implementations either on the Liquid network or with Spark now. And what Lucas said, nodeless implementation, that means that we take even that burden and you just take care, I send this amount of sats, this will be this amount of fee to send it or to receive it, and that's it. And that's getting us very, very close to the user experience on the Lightning Network, what people are used to with fiat. And that is what I'm talking about, how we should think even in the mom and pop shop. Like, you can create any website again, but if when I click and it doesn't send the email, even if it's not Bitcoin, if you created that structure and the person doesn't receive email for the order, that is a bad user experience, so he'll leave. The same thing with Noster. I'm entering now. The biggest challenge for Noster is when you enter Noster, to enter is very easy. To switch from one client is so easy. and we never had that. But when you enter and you don't follow anybody and nobody follows you, you don't see anything. That is the biggest hurdle in the user experience in Noster. So somebody needs to figure out how the hell I get my social network, because when you enter X, Facebook, Instagram, whatever those fiat experiences, they feed your algorithm so you stay. In Noster, there's nothing like that for you to stay. You have to brute force your way into commenting and zapping or whatever you want to do. And it's still so hard. And it's so much harder than YouTube. And not only that, and other platforms, but you receive still less zaps for it. Let's say musicians are one of the groups that are suited for Noster because they receive crap from everywhere else. So on MoneyWise, Noster is beating the fiat platforms for zapping, receiving actual money. But that is the UX, I think, that is preventing people to adopt it faster. Like when you sign up, nobody sees your messages because nobody is following you, and you see almost nothing because you don't follow anybody. So when somebody figures out that user experience, I think the adoption will go faster.
Yeah, that when Facebook first came out, that's how that was, right? You didn't find people unless you were looking for them. They didn't find you unless they were looking for you. There's kind of a be careful what you wish for part of this, right? Where Yes, maybe we do want the algorithm so that we can quickly gain an audience. But then the flip side of that is I'm currently reading the book Dopamine Nation by Anna Lemke, which is talking about addiction. And, you know, addiction is the same. Neurologically, it's the same whether it's addiction to pornography or sex or heroin or alcohol or screens or shopping or exercise even. All these addictions are the same. They're processed in the same part of the brain. And the only difference in them is how much dopamine each of these activities puts into your dopamine pathways. And so I tread lightly, I guess, on this idea that we should make Noster just like Instagram or just like TikTok in terms of the addictiveness of it. But I completely understand your point because I experienced that as well. So I've been on Noster for about actively, I guess, and not very active, but somewhat actively for about 6 months, 7 months, something like that. And I think I maybe have like 50 or 60 followers. And you're right. It does make it difficult because I go and I post the podcast, I post my music, and I know that I'm just screaming into the void. I'm just dumping this and no one's going to see it. So, yeah, there is a kind of a chicken and egg type of thing where you want to build up the audience so that what you post has value, but you can't build up the audience unless what you're posting has value. And I think that's just kind of what a creator has to be able to commit to, which is that your reward as a creator is the creation of the gift. And the thing that you do then is you give it away. I read the other day that it was like your mission in life is to find your gift, and your purpose is to then give that gift away. So if you're a good teacher, then you find the love and the joy of teaching, and then what you do as a gift is that you present that to the world. And people now, because we have Bitcoin, we have Noster, we have Lightning, we have the ability to reward people more proportionally for their gifts. That does put me on the side of like believing in the rise of the creator during this era and really believing in a return towards something resembling the Renaissance age. Grant mentioned, having patrons. Which is how, that's how Da Vinci and Michelangelo and all of these guys, they got by. They took commissions from rich people. Hey, paint my ugly wife and make her look hot. And they were able to take that money and then create beautiful works that came out of their own minds. And so I think that part of that is selling out, but it's also... it's selling out in order to maintain your integrity in a way where I'll take your money so that I can, I'll take your money and I'll do this thing that I don't necessarily believe in. Like maybe Grant and I put up the website and somebody comes in and they suggest that we read, whatever, Cat in the Hat or How to Identify the 728 Genders at a Glance. And we're like, okay, well, if you pay us 1,000,000 sats, cool. We'll do that. And then we'll go do something we want with that money. So I think you really need to have a question about like, does selling out or does audience capture, is it something that happens to everyone regardless? Or is it something that is a choice that you make, that you allow your soul to be sold? And maybe your soul is a lot like Bitcoin. Maybe it can't be taken. Maybe it can only be given away. Might be something to think about there, I guess. So I love hearing you talk about Noster. I believe in what it's going to do, and I want to focus more on that. What are the other things that you're seeing, I guess? Oh, by the way, I did want to have a throw out because Grant asked the question about the great user experience. What's the great user experience? I do want to say I'm not experienced with Breezes, but Adam Smeka, who is on here with his Mana Bitcoin wallet, it's not the wallet that impresses me. It's the point of sale system, which I can... His 9-year-old daughter showed me how to set up this point of sale system, and she would be able to say, okay, Ivan, you're selling turkeys. Lucas, you're selling baseball bats. Grant, you're selling used tires. We're going to put them all in there. Everybody has their address. And then John can come up and he can walk up and buy a turkey, a baseball bat, and a used tire, pay one time. We all get paid instantly. And it was brilliant. So I think we're really moving there. And he had mentioned that like month over month growth was like over 500%. You work directly in Lightning and in the applications that Breeze puts out. And Breeze is really forward in this because they sponsor a lot of like coding challenges and hackings in order to create a better user experience. What are the things that you're seeing in the Lightning community right now as far as growth, as far as usage, as far as like products and use cases that are advancing the adoption and use of Bitcoin as money? Because that's where, by the way, you and Adam are perfectly aligned, because you both believe that Bitcoin fails if we don't use it as money. Spend your Bitcoin. You need to do that in order to get it adopted as a means of exchange, because if it's not adopted as a means of exchange, then people will just hoard it like gold. And if people just hoard it like gold, then we'll always be pricing things in the thing that we use as a medium of exchange, and it will never become a unit of account. It will never be the thing we price stuff in. So, yeah, I think kudos. Obviously, great minds think alike. I think you and Adam would have a wonderful conversation. But with regard to Lightning and Breeze and what you're seeing, what are the things that you're excited about? What are the things where you're seeing growth and advancement? Because I know you're a cheery, optimistic guy who's always smiling, and I want to put it to you to share that joy and that optimism with everybody.
Okay, so all the things that you commented, I'll try to integrate them in my response. Like, in terms of selling out, I don't think it's selling out, because if you're continuing to pursue your self-actualization, that means you didn't sell out. You found a way to get there. Mm-hmm. Because just like the hierarchy of Maslow, the needs, like self-actualization is like on the top. Like you need to, like if you're starving, you're not in the self-actualizing moods, let's say it like that. So you need to take care of the basic needs. And money is a representation that, oh, I have the freedom. And this is one of the first things that hit me when I understood Bitcoin, that for the first time ever, you can write a list where you can say, I want this car, I want this house, I want to afford this lifestyle, I want this, whatever. You write them all down. Right next to them, you write the prices in fiat. Right next to them, that other column, you write the prices in Bitcoin terms. And now, in fiat, you will see that those things are getting further away from you. But in the Bitcoin system, they're coming closer to you, so you can actually achieve them. Like you don't need to manage all the problems. So that is where you start, and you receiving money is fundamental, and hoarding is important. But I want to slightly change also. I don't want you to just spend your Bitcoin. I want you to use it in any shape or form. Spending is just one use case that people hate doing, and admittedly, like I had a little bit of a problem when I paid, and the propaganda or HODL only till you die or whatever, like no. But when you actually use it and you receive, and not only receive, but I connect a Bitcoiner with somebody else that can pay him in Bitcoin. Even if I don't receive, I improve the whole network. And that is beneficial for me because they will offer those services to me that I don't need to get in fiat and everything else. So everything is connected. And that's what I want to emphasize. And everybody that says, oh, they want you to spend your Bitcoin on them or whatever. No, I want you to use it in any shape or form, not just spend it. I want you to hoard, and I want you to hoard so you accumulate enough that you self-actualize and you take care of all your basic needs. I have a list for my life, and I know that this year it was less Bitcoin than 2 years ago. Like, even though this year we're a down year, and what we talked last time, oh, institutions are coming and everybody was excited, oh, and Bitcoin will pump. Like, no, it won't. Like, they'll try to manipulate it as much as they can, so they capture. We are trying to get into the capture try, let's say. We'll see. And going into the lightning, what's happening there, it's still... The technology is improving a lot, I would say. And the thing that is the one of the big things that happened, two actually big things that happened, is Tether now can be transmitted in Lightning. That was not possible like previous years. And because of this, obviously, all the other cryptos, the dominant use case is the dollar, whether it's USDC or USDT, is very attractive in all the other shitcoin chains. And now the swap providers can use Lightning to transfer USDT between chains, and that requires Bitcoin fees, and that will give that value. Just like you said, are we selling out? That's kind of this mechanism that's happening. And a lot of swap providers are having this instant swap because they didn't have that about Bitcoin. They said, oh, Bitcoin was slow, whatever, and the technology didn't have that option. But now they have that option where somebody wants to swap Bitcoin and they swap Bitcoin for USDT that's on another chain. Now they can do that. A person that can't stomach the volatility, or they're just in the situation that they can't even save because they're in a tyrannical regime or whatever their situation is, now they are integrated into our network where they might their impact will be almost nothing, not only because they will use USDT, but to swap and everything is such tiny sats, but now they are in our neighborhood and they'll be part of our network, and that network is increasing. So that is the thing that happened. The other huge thing that happened is 4 million merchants that are using the Jack Dorsey solution. Again, yeah, like Square. You said, the POS terminal in Mana, like that's a user experience. Even though Breeze was the first ever that integrated POS system in their wallet, because technically, that's exactly what we are talking about. Now, that technically you can receive the sats, what you said about cheese, whatever, but it requires work on the individual to be in the wallet experience. But if you create the application that abstracts away all those technicalities and creates the user experience for selling milk, cheese, or eggs, or whatever, and you don't need to think about it, but the application thinks about it and you just receive in one click, send or receive, that's the user experience that's for that use case. The other thing that we mentioned was about podcasting. Somebody wants to zap the podcaster that's coming more and more into the Noster ecosystem. But what else? Like, think about where, when you take a card, where can you use it? Almost everywhere, whether like you can go into the shop, you can go this, you can go that, like everything that money can touch, how can Bitcoin be there? Like, how can Bitcoin facilitate this? Not only facilitate this, but as I said, whether it's a split payment, whether it's instant settlement on the other side of the world, like all of those need to be in it, but they don't only theoretically that it's possible, but here install this application, but now memorize this private key, this public key, your seed phrase. Not only that, but when I send you, you need to wait 10 minutes or whatever. All those are a lot of frictions for somebody that just wants to have a solution. Because in our local Bitcoin club, we had a use case where somebody showed up with a bag full of money, and they said, they told us that Bitcoin is the only thing that we can send in Russia. I want to send this money in Russia, and you can show us. Like, what is the use case that you... This is the use case. What is the user experience that you can create to serve this use case if there's a market for it? That's what I'm talking about. And I completely agree with Mara. What I disagree is that they either have to be the Swiss Army knives that they need to create themselves those user experiences. And we were on that path, Breeze itself, just to test different use cases. But that can't scale because the Mana team is limited. So you're basically limiting what they can develop. They can't work on 500 different implementations, 500 different use cases in 500, or not, let's say in 50 countries. Like, that's a struggle. But what we offer is that we give you that code and you create completely the user experience. And maybe next time we can showcase it. Like, you create the user experience and you just plug that code when you press send, everything is taken care of by our stuff, like with our SDK or something. So that is what I'm talking about. And it's still, just because we're abstracting away the technical things that Lightning experts can do, and you don't have to think about it, that is putting the burden that the user experience, now you have the freedom to make it great. But because the last piece that I'll add is, now I'm experimenting with vibe coding, now I can demonstrate everything, and I can go into a high school and not only talk about Bitcoin, what it is, but I can showcase, you enter these parameters, you don't need to be even that big of a developer, but you can create a website, you can create an application, you can create anything, and you can put money in it. The fiat system doesn't want you to have a bank account until 18, but you're 14 and Bitcoin doesn't care. So go do anything. And that is my mission for this year. I would say that I'll go around high schools and universities, that I can showcase what people can do, and especially people that don't have a bank account, I would love it that they don't even touch and create user experiences that we can't even think about, because the kids these days are so digitally native that I'm one of the generations that's kind of in between. I know the world before, and I'm kind of okay. But the generations before me, my father, my mother, they were like bad with computers. And the generations after me, they can't put it down. Like, they live in the cyberspace.
So that's the good news. So Ivan, I'm curious, is there a dystopian future that is possible in relation to Lightning? So Lucas and I just finished reading The Mandibles. And as part of that future, the government forces people, spoiler alert, I guess, but in the book, but so not even talking about the book, say that people were forced to have a chip implanted as a sort of central bank digital currency monitoring system, such that it's like a social credit. Everything you pay for instantly deducts a tax for the state. Is there a dystopian future where Lightning is the same way, where the government legislates that all split payments need to include a 10% split payment to the government, and then governments lean on split payment providers, facilitators, to force them to do that? Do you see any possibility for a dystopian outcome in split payments?
I see Definitely, I try to do that. And not even a try, but they'll force as hard as they can to do that. And the problem is that not even on Lightning, because Lightning has pretty good privacy when you send a payment, but when you receive, you're kind of exposed where it is. But on other solutions, you have full privacy. And to switch around, let's say that they force you, just like I think in Nigeria, they force them to use their digital Naira, their CBDC.
E-Naira, I think.
And still, even though they restricted the ATMs, they did all sorts of stuff, people didn't want to use it. But even if we're sleepwalking into it, as I said, because this is a decentralizing force, let's say everybody is taxed automatically, and all of us. But your purchasing power increases. And because it increases and it is yours, that means you will find other ways and other things to do. That is, a decentralizing force. You cannot completely stop it. There might be a volatility in actions because we're still so small. But do you think all those taxes will work in all 160 countries? Or I don't know how many there are, like 300 countries in the world. I highly doubt it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just like Bitcoin, what it needs to stop it, like stop the internet in the whole world, not only now, but forever. That's what you actually need to do with the split payment. You might be somewhat successful, just like now, the institutions are coming and they are gaining traction on capturing the ownership of Bitcoin. But they did nothing about owning the network. And if they actually try to own the network, it will be a violent, I wouldn't say violent again. Let's not make the mistake, Jason, but it will be a pushback against all of it. And you're just prolonging the inevitable, in my point of view. The only thing that's going for them for now is people just don't understand it and the UX is still bad. So we don't have those solutions. So we just need to build. Like, there's no way around it. Like, it will require proof of work, not just hodling. Hodling is the basic foundation that you step on, but then build, because you will outpace everybody else if you do.
Yeah. When I go on X these days, I continue to see rumblings of tax revolt. This idea of people voluntarily refusing to pay taxes is starting to gain some ground in the general consciousness. And whether or not there's going to be success there or failure or what it leads to, the mere fact that it is becoming something that people are saying out loud is. You know, Jason Lowry refers to Bitcoin as digital 1776 as declaring independence from the oppressive tax regime. And if we, you know, if we remember, that was over like a 2% tax or 3% or something like that. You know, and here in the United States, where we didn't have income tax until we had the current iteration of the central bank in 1913. So, you know, for a very long time, this country, it started from nothing and then grew to be something very powerful in the absence of, and quite possibly as a result of, not having those taxes. It certainly was created because of a revolt against tax. And so it's interesting because it gives us kind of a different perspective on what that means. What does it mean to to view taxes as not something native to life, as something that, as Adam Smeka says, you know, believes that taxes are unconstitutional. I think that there's a case to be made for that. What does that mean? And you frame it in terms, you use the analogy of blood going through blood vessels in your essay, and you talk about all this unnecessary friction as like plaque in those blood vessels, and slowing down, adding friction, slowing down and causing problems. If I work at your restaurant, then that plaque is that the customer pays and their payment goes first to the point of service and then to that bank and then to a clearing bank and then to my bank.
And then it waits 30 days.
And then it waits, and then you pay me, and, you know, those taxes are taken out. And that delay, you talk about how that delay is actually a huge cost. If we're able to have a technology, to build a technology that removes that plaque, where the customer pays their bill and I instantly get paid and you instantly get paid, everyone instantly gets paid, then we've removed that delay, we've removed that plaque, we've removed that, you know, what happens when you build up plaque is that the pressure increases until something bursts and something breaks. And looking at the Lightning Network, I looked it up while you were talking. So last year, the capacity of the Lightning Network in terms of how much Bitcoin is actually allocated to Lightning channels, it grew a little bit by, like, say, 7%. So the pipe, that blood vessel, got a little bit bigger. However, the volume, the amount of transactions and the total amount of value transacted through, that grew by about 300%. So we've got this beautiful, clean, sleek blood vessel without any plaque, and we're able to continually increase the amount of blood that we're pumping through it and add vitality to the economy, add vitality to the system in a way that I think it just, when you look at it compared to the old system, it's like looking at two patients and one of them is sickly and failing and the other one is vibrant and alive. And at a certain point, you have to make the decision of how long am I going to continue to throw good money after bad and keep this patient on life support, when I could be feeding and housing and helping to grow this other one. So, I find the Lightning Network really fascinating, because it allows us to have that, all the things that we talk about with Bitcoin that people bring up is, oh, this could be a failure point. Like, it's not really anonymous and it's not really fast and, it's not really easy. And Lightning is all of those things. It's fast. It's basically anonymous. It's easy. It allows us to really blossom our digital identity. So yeah, it was just kind of a comment on that. I didn't have a question. I just started talking and then I stopped talking.
My question, what do you think about what Lucas just said?
There you go. Grant, way to dive in there and save us.
Question mark.
This is why
you always just end with an upward inflection, and that is what I have to say.
For me, this is exactly actually with my soulmate. We talked about how much decay the fiat system gave us to our generation, in our parents, and the good thing is that we are kind of the third generation of fiat working on us. And they screw up our life in so many ways, like the food that we eat, the amount of time that we spend in nature, like the beauty that we see, the networks that we share. Like, right now we are connected and it's very valuable for me because you're on the other side of the world. But the human touch, when you touch somebody for, I think, more than 3 seconds or something, the dopamine for bonding, I think...
Oxytocin.
Oxytocin, yeah. That one is released, and all sorts of things that are kind of, again, slightly but surely, all of those are, let's say, the medical system, the food system, everything receives 2% inflation in quality. And we said, okay, we started with the list, what I told about. Bitcoin system will help us to achieve it faster. We are not there yet. But this is what we are aiming for. Yes, we are going to sell out here and there for something. But the good thing is that you don't need to sell out a lot. Like if you actually do the proof of work, you can actually work for a Bitcoin company. You can actually make a Bitcoin project that kind of works and stuff like that. So just because you're having a fiat job, that doesn't mean that you should not even try. And when you do that, we set out this thing for us as parents now is that we will not fix everything for our kids, but what we damn well do is that we reverse the fucking trends. Like, we will use the better money, we will search out which is the better food, we will search out which is the better technology that doesn't screw with your circadian rhythm and everything. And for, unfortunately, there is one company, a very big fan of them, and all sorts of things. And yeah, for example, I found out like that the salt that we eat is horrible. Like almost everything is salt.
Your
milk. Yes, it's not actually salt. They're giving you like something crappy and again. And when you go and do that research and stuff like that, it kind of requires time to do it and to test it out. But now we found it. And now this is the thing that we set up. And then you go about milk. I don't know if you know, but yogurt specifically is something that's probably invented in Bulgaria because the molecule that you call it is called Bulgaricus. Ah. So the real truest yogurt in the world is made in my country. So, and when people say Greek yogurt, there is no Greek yogurt. They're just branding field. My point is, if we take any of the yogurts that are sold in the supermarket and we try to make our own, the process doesn't work. Like, there is only one brand that where you take the yogurt and you create your own, that means that that's real yogurt. And all
is it where you like get that, like the bacteria or the culture or whatever? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Like, the process is you take some raw milk and you put a spoon of yogurt from one and the bacteria multiplies. You need to place it in a hot place for I don't know how much time. But my sister is kind of cooking here and there. And she said, I tried all sorts of brands and none of them worked. I put it, that means that there is no bacteria. There is no milk. There is no yogurt in the actual yogurt. And again, this is a symptom of fiat. And we have experienced all of that. But my point is that this is the one thing that we will damn well do for our generation. That we stop the negative trend about all those things for us. We want our kids to be better and to actually achieve it. And we want our grandkids to be better than our kids and so on and so on. This is the mission that we do. And going back, I am not against hodling. Hodling is the one thing that you can step on and you do all of that. But just because you're hodling Bitcoin, that will not solve your health problems. That will not solve you working for a bank in fiat and you're subsidizing and you're waiting for that Bitcoin to become a million so you can quit and then figure out that you can't do anything in Bitcoin because you didn't put any effort there. That is what I'm trying to say. And I that's my imploring to all the Bitcoiners out there. Like, this is what we need to do, whatever it is, even if it is just for your kids, selfishly, and you don't help any other Bitcoiner, make the other generations after us better. And now you have the tool that they can confiscate and actually achieve it. Because even if you try in fiat, you have to play fiat games. You have to figure out how to get closer to the printer. You have to figure out how to play the YouTube, Facebook, or whatever algorithm to have an advantage. And all those are fiat games. Now you can align. You actually provide real valuable work. You find out what is real valuable services and products, and you use those with the best money, and you rebuild upon them. Just because I talked kind of negatively about Nostr, that doesn't mean that I'm not a believer. I really believe in it, and that's why I'm using it, because I want to subsidize it. Because, as I said, even if it fails, that is the path that we should fail in. Like, it should not be quit. Like, so... yeah, those are kind of the comments about plaque and everything. That's on my societal level. That, like, proof of work, like, that's the only way. But use the right tools. And just because you're hodling and you have more than your neighbor and you want to have even more, so, like, why? Like, I don't understand that. Why the hell are you just hodling and you don't care about where you live? Do you think when everything crashes around you and people find out that you have a lot of Bitcoin, they're not going to come with the guillotine first for you? If you didn't give any value, but you hoard it, like, I'm sorry, but this is the fundamental thing that I disagree with Michael Saylor. And the thing that I really disagree is that he's disincentivizing to build on Bitcoin. Like, I'm sorry, but you're not on my team. That is what you're saying, even though you're helping my purchasing power here and there.
Yeah, you bring up a lot of things that I want to comment on there, because so first off, I'm going through this process myself, like reading Dopamine Nation. You know, one of the things that Anna Lemke tells us is that pain and pleasure are processed in the same area of the brain. They're overlapping. When you experience pleasure, the body wants to reach homeostasis, and so it gives you pain. And that pain is in like a craving. So I eat the chocolate cake, and I have a craving to eat more chocolate cake. I want that. It's giving me pain. And you can basically break all of this down into two types of reward. Did I earn the reward? Did I do proof of work? Or is it unearned reward? And an earned reward is I did a difficult workout, and at the end, I get this afterglow feeling. I feel effervescent. I'm pumping with endorphins, because that is the body taking the pain of the workout and balancing it back by giving me pleasure. So I have to seek out pain in order to get to be given pleasure by myself. I can give myself pleasure, but I have to seek pain in order to get it. On the flip side, if I seek pleasure, then if I get that pleasure from an external source, I get that from a computer screen, from sugary food, from watching movies, from scrolling through TikTok, from avoiding being out in the cold or avoiding being out in the heat. If I do that, then what I get in return, what I give myself, is I give myself pain, is I end up giving myself more and more and more and more pain in order to balance out the pleasure, because I give myself pain, so I seek more pleasure. I give myself pain, so I seek more pleasure. Whereas if you seek pain, then you get pleasure in return. And the terrifying thing, or not terrifying, but just kind of like, it is somewhat overwhelming to sit and make a list of what are all the sources of cheap dopamine that are available to me on an everyday basis. So caffeine, I get energy without having to work for it. There's sleeping pills. There's Adderall. Adderall is 10 times more pleasurable than sex. right?
I don't know.
It's 5 times more pleasurable than cocaine in terms of the amount of dopamine that it sends your brain. And so you go down this list and you're like, well, what are all the things that I do on an everyday basis? There's the bad food. There's the sugary sodas. There's the caffeine. There's Adderall. There's alcohol. There's marijuana. There's scrolling on TikTok. And you want to make a commitment to try and live a life without those things in order to, if nothing else, just get to know yourself, just to return to whatever baseline that you were born with. And it seems overwhelming because these things are so pervasive within our life. It's just incredibly overwhelming to think about trying to extract yourself from that system. Just like it's incredibly overwhelming to try and think about leaving the fiat system that you were born into. But it turns out on the other side are great rewards. And so if you can go through the pain of the adjustment, the pain of the letting go, and detox, basically, then there's great things on the other side. You brought up this, and I, Grant, you and I haven't really, I don't think we've ever really gotten into this, but I am actually starting to be on the same side as Ivan when it comes to the Bitcoin treasury company model. I think it's very successful. I think it's bringing a lot of people to Bitcoin. I don't really know about that it's keeping people from building on Bitcoin, but what I do know is that at Bitcoin MENA in, I believe it was Abu Dhabi, Michael Saylor lays out the plan here, and it's, hey, if you buy our product that pays you 11% and you're a giant bank, then you can effectively issue your own coin. You can issue JP Morgan coin or whatever, and you can pay 8% on that and keep a couple for yourself. And then we can kind of like privatize money. And when I think about what that means realistically, to me, it's nothing more than a privatized version of a central bank digital currency. And we saw with the social media companies, with Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube during COVID, we saw that the private companies weren't actually very private, that they were operating at the behest of the governments who had infiltrated them and given them orders, you know, deplatform these people, silence these words, censor this speech, censor this communication. And that's very easily imagined as, oh, the government will just go to JP Morgan and say, deplatform, debank this person, silence their ability to express themselves financially, censor their transactions. It makes me sad, but I actually do kind of agree that I think we're going down a bad path. At the very least, it's opening us up to some very negative possibilities. So I don't know. Grant, what do you think about that? Ivan, throw in question mark.
The thing about Bitcoin, though, it always has the possibility of self-custody. In a certain sense, I don't want to say this too strongly, but it's almost like there are no bad futures because there only is the expression of human nature and how it's going to interact with this technology. And it always was going to be the case that finance was going to be involved and it was going to, maybe in the form of a Trojan horse, bring Bitcoin deep within inside it and then re-engineer its own DNA without knowing. And that's one view of what's happening with what Saylor's doing, right? Is how do we just rewrite current models of finance using Bitcoin, something like that. But again, as long as Bitcoin always has the potential to be self-custodied, then you can always withdraw it from that model. There always is a possibility. Mm-hmm. So it's a decentralized protocol. People will participate as they will. I don't see what he's doing as a net benefit or a net negative, maybe as almost an inevitability that this was going to happen. But there's always also going to be Ivans out there who are going to build in a different way. And that's always going to be, I think, an expression of what Bitcoin is, that it's going to be both finance and both independence and a bunch of different things we don't yet know.
For me, For me, this is kind of fitting exactly what the Fiat will try, because they couldn't stop the whole protocol. So how would they capture? They'll try to capture as many coins as they can. So give me your money. So I buy Bitcoins and I give you some other shitcoin on top. Like, what's actually the difference between the shitcoin and what they're doing? Some abstractional thing. Why? And they're promoting this? Like, what the hell happened between now and 4 years ago when I was listening to Michael Saylor, the engineer, like talking about civilizations and everything else? Like, something in between changed where he is now the biggest crypto proponent. Like, and everybody is cheering, oh, you go buy more Bitcoin, and he's pushing some other tokens. Like, I hate this. Like, why? So this is the kind of thing that I disagree. And obviously, there's nothing that I can do to stop it. Obviously, this was going to happen. Like, but there was somebody else that... All those scams are coming closer to Bitcoin. Like, they were creating other shitcoin chains, but now they're on top of Bitcoin. So I have a guess that we will skip this cycle, and we are in an eight years long cycle. And because the next fiat something will create again more volatility in fiat, and Bitcoin will have that absorption yeah. and everything else, it will create problems in that model. But he's putting fiat infrastructure on top of Bitcoin. That means that everything on top will crash at some point. Maybe it will not be in 8 years, maybe it will be in 20, but that is not the system that I want to be in. That is the basic problem that I have with everything. It's not that people can do whatever they like. Like, you can bite Shiba Inu coin if you want. Like, that's your choice when you don't have any money. And in the last crash of Bitcoin, where Bitcoin crashed like 25% and everything in crypto crashed 90% and people got liquidated, like, okay. Like, you're seeking the pleasure, but now you got the extreme pain. Are you going to actually learn the lesson, or you're going to bitch about it? So just like technology is not negotiating, like proof of work is proof of work. And just because you believe in abstractional things, it doesn't mean that they're real. Like, we create all those things that believe so hard, and we create such intense emotion, and all the chemicals are released in our body, and it is so real for us, but it's based on absolutely nothing. So when physics actually work, and that reveals that the abstraction crashes, like, it is inevitable. And as Lucas said, it's going to happen, and people can self-custody, but because it's on fiat infrastructure, they will create all sorts of ways so you don't self-custody if you're in that model. Like, if you bought Bitcoin in different ways, because what happens if there are problems in the fiat infrastructure, and the one thing that can save you, you take it away from them? That means, like, what happens when you get a bank run on gold? Like, expecting that it's going to be something else with Bitcoin, like, that's delusional. It will happen the absolute same thing. They will close the exits, and they'll say, I'm sorry, we're paying you in this Joe Rogan coin or whatever you believe in, whatever amount you want, because you can print it for ourselves, and good luck. Like, this is our liability, whatever. But the ownership is not the only thing that needs to be decentralized. And at any point, Bitcoin needs to have this decentralizing force trend, because Bitcoin was one of the most centralized things. It started from one freaking person. Mm-hmm. But the trend is in the right direction. Right now, the institutions figure out that they can't stop it now, and they can't. Their propaganda doesn't work on the people that get it, like me. Like, I'm never going back.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that is one of the things that needs to stay as is, because people that got out orange pill, like, once you see something, you can't unsee it. Like, it's dependent on you if you're able to achieve your goals. I mean, life still works. Like, it will require for me to build stuff. It's not going to happen by itself. Yeah. But be aware what you wish for, because treasury companies for me is just the CBDC in a different form. Like, it's exactly the same thing. And as I said in one of the other articles, right now, the loyalty points or the frequent flying miles, yeah, points, mm-hmm, whatever. That is a CBDC. Like, it's just, yeah, a point in a digital space that you can manipulate however you like. Like, what's the difference with any other token that you can create, whether it's a stock of a company, whether it's this or that? Yeah, some are harder to manipulate than others, but you can create it out of nothing. So that is what makes it a shitcoin. It's not that, the police will come and you have to release forms or whatever. Like, try to do that in the code of Bitcoin. Like, yeah, you'll try to do it and you're kicked out of the network. Good luck. But in the fiat infrastructure, I'm sorry, if you got fiat paper claims and they are not going to give it when you most need it, your Bitcoin. So that is my one very important comment. Yes, you can self-custody, but not always if you are on top of a fiat infrastructure.
Yeah. I do think that if Saylor is successful in doing that, or whoever's going to be, tying Tether to the United States debt and allowing the U.S. to profligate their debt across the entire world in sums of a dollar at a time instead of treasury bills, large chunks, I think all it does is accelerate the fall of the dollar. I think all it does is encourage them to print more. And so if you encourage them to print more, then you just encourage more inflation. And if you encourage more inflation, then you encourage people to wake up. And to and like you say, you know, the trend is such that there are X amount of Bitcoiners and there are Y amount of people that are not Bitcoiners, and this X is only getting bigger and this Y is only getting smaller, and no one is going from X to Y. Everyone only goes from Y to X. Like, there's
some are switching back or whatever, and we're just in the phase that they managed to slow down adoption, because right now they're not laughing at Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because when they laughed at Bitcoin, that puts attention into it. People look more into it and whatever, whatever. Right now, Bitcoin hits all-time highs so many times this year, nobody cared. Bitcoin was nowhere to be found outside of Bitcoin circles. And now, because Bitcoin is still a tiny, tiny, tiny market, and they can manipulate the shit out of it. And this is what's happening. So, but the next going up or going down, if they manage to prolong this stabilization, the next one will be very violent. So I think the volatility is a feature, because when you go up, it creates attention into it. It puts leverage, but going down is a very important feature where people actually think about self-custody. Like, when you take away the crashes, now we become, oh, this is stable, oh, put this into the ETF and this treasury company and anything else. And at some point, they have so much that they will have a huge influence over it. The only decentralizing force in that type of environment is different countries adopt it as fast as America. Because yeah. right now, I'm sorry, but America are dominating again, and I don't like it.
But, yeah, it's not yeah, good for you
that,
guys.
Yeah, but that American, quote-unquote, domination or whatever is just really the reminder that we live in a multipolar world and that these different jurisdictions, if you have the assertion of American power, then that is just a reminder to other jurisdictions that in the international order, there is no sovereign. And so that is a... like a double reinforcement that people need to have a sovereign asset themselves. And I think that if you're scared of treasury companies, just know that they are tied to particular jurisdictions and people live in a multi-jurisdictional world. And, you know, it's a dog eat dog lawless world in the end. And people will always look at international affairs, and see that that is the case and want to hold the hardest asset for themselves rather than delegate it to something that's under the purview of American law.
Yeah. And just because I don't like all those things, it doesn't mean that I'm too worried about it. Like, fiat games will be played all over. Like, yeah, but it won't change really my trajectory other than how much faster Bitcoin goes up or down. But again, I need to, just like the comb, just because... and the refrigerator. We need to integrate all those infrastructures everywhere. And because they're hard, right now, we will be so much ahead of everybody else because we know all the terrain, all the infrastructure, and people will won't even have any Bitcoin and they need to figure out later. Yeah, it will be easier to figure out later because the UX will be much better, but we'll be so much ahead because... the fiat, let's say, is 2% inflation. Bitcoin is 2% deflation. So I'm gaining all that traction in what I said, in health, in my social networks, in technology, in everything, and in the money itself. But it's just an impossible question. Like, humans are messy individually, but when you put 8 billion of them, like, it's yeah. unpredictable. So, yeah. But either way, I'm not too worried about it, but it's just kind of revealing that people don't really spend time thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easier not to. You know, Ivan, we've reached a point now, we've covered split payments. We've talked about the user experience of Noster and Bitcoin wallets and the payment process. We've talked about the fiat kind of disease that pervades not just our money, but the products that we use, the experience that we have in daily life. Talked about the Lightning Network and how it's growing and CBDCs and things like that. It's about time for me to go outside and get some sunlight. But before I do that, I want to make sure that I give you the chance to have the final word here. What do you want to tell us? What do you want to tell people that are going to listen to this that have gotten it? By God, if they got this far in this mm-hmm. conversation, man, they are committed. yeah. And so, yeah, leave us on a high note and give us something good.
I'm sorry, but I have a bassy voice, so I don't have the falsetto high notes. But the high note is, whoever is listening out there, is that you're ahead of the majority of the world. And just because you're ahead, that doesn't mean that you won. But when you are ahead, press your advantage. Go and do even more. You don't need to be as intense. But really, know where you're aiming. I would like to go back to the dopamine thing again, because there, as you said, it's like a seesaw. Like when you seek pleasure, like it builds up the pain, and in order to balance itself, you need to experience a lot of pain in order to reset your system. And the reverse, people that went through enormous pain can be the most happy people ever, because now their baseline is completely different than somebody really disliked me in the YouTube comments or whatever. But in order to do that, as I said, I'm saying this now for 4 years, start with the freaking list for your life outside of Bitcoin. Yeah. Like, what the hell do you want to achieve, and use Bitcoin to achieve it? The other thing for dopamine, which is a bit of a trick, which I learned like 8 years ago or something. The thing when we face something that will be discomforting or painful, and we clinch and we don't engage, like there's like 1, 2, or 3 second decision that you need to make, and we fall back to our systems. Lucas, you mentioned it in your previous, like you fall back to, oh, I see this discomfort or anything, so my system is trying to avoid it, go the other direction, or ignore it, or whatever. But the biggest trick that I learned to retrain this, that you see the discomfort and you go towards it, is doing cold showers. I learned this from Wim Hof, the Iceman, and I learned this that if you go to the gym and it's hard and it's everything, but going into the cold shower, it takes like 20 seconds. It doesn't require a lot of time, and it retrains your whole system that, oh, I don't want to do the dishes. Oh, I don't want this or anything. All those 1 second decisions, it depletes you, and you're seeking the comfort and you're building up the pain that you need to reset. But when you go into the shower, you will take those small little pains, small little discomforts, and you lead a happier life. You will feel and have the energy to actually go for the things that you want, because doing the list is not enough. Going to pursue after it will be discomfort, because you don't have it now. Comfort is what we have now. Discomfort is outside of our reach. And when you actually do cold showers and you have the list, now you reset your whole system and you go and you are actually going to achieve it using Bitcoin. That is my message.
Excellent.
Well spoken. As Wim Hof says, if you go to the cold won't come to you. And Grant and I both very experienced with going to the cold, having dipped into the frigid waters of the Columbia River many times, among other things. So yeah, I completely agree. That little cold shower, that'll push you in the right direction. Ivan, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you sharing the driving force that is pushing you. You know, you're not here for number go up. You're not here for the tech. You're here,
I am
for,
here for the number the life. Not, but not the only thing. Like, I don't want it to go down. Like, I don't have any other savings, so I need it to go up. But
all right, fair enough.
Not the only thing.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, Grant, what do you got for us on the way out?
Oh, man, just don't stick around for a second, Ivan, when we, of course, this is a Riverside publication, and if you jump off and we're not uploaded, this whole conversation's gone. But that's all I got. Thanks, man, for the convo. It's always awesome.
Thank you.